Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
In the headlines this morning, Ukraine expects Russia to mark the invasion anniversary with a renewed offensive. That's from the defense minister there. Joseph Lindsley is in Ukraine this morning. And what are you hearing there, Joe? How are things where you are today?
Bob, I'm speaking to you once again from Kharkiv, about 30 miles from Russia. And, you know, there is a sense that Putin likes dates. I mean, February 24th, 2014 was the day when the pro-Putin president fled Ukraine as a result of the protest of the Revolution of Dignity. And so 8 years later, February 24th, 2022, is when the full-scale invasion of Ukraine began. And so obviously there is apprehension about what might happen on that date. We've had a few air alarms in the east of the country today, but there's been nothing major as far as a missile strike since last week. So there is some sense that something might happen soon. The Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, said that Russia simply wants to push Ukrainian troops to a safe distance from Russian territory. You know, it's amazing after, you know, almost a year of this, they still think they can say this propaganda as though Russia is the party that's been attacked. But they continue to make such statements and perhaps preparing for, you know, sort of preparing the way for whatever they want to do next. A Russian journalist, they don't have freedom of speech there, but a woman who's editor of state-run Russian TV called RT, she put out a video on Twitter yesterday saying, you know, it sickens her to see these cities destroyed and everything could just be solved if Ukraine would just surrender. And she said, don't worry, we're going to make your cities even better. It was really a chilling thing to see. And you know, as I spoke to you yesterday, I was in the ruins of one of these cities that's been destroyed. And you know, you see, you know, the clothes in trees because of the blast, the way it sent everything flying from these buildings, buildings where everything was burned, including people inside. I spoke to you from, you know, seeing those cars where the tank had killed everyone in the escape convoy. And then so to hear this rhetoric from Russia is once again a reminder that we're dealing with a sick, evil ideology, you know, sort of the same madness of the Nazis. And this morning, for the past week, I'd been traveling the country with an American journalist, and the journalist left yesterday. And so I had a bit of a break. I was pretty exhausted, especially after the things I saw yesterday. In those cities and villages where the Russians have caused so much damage, it's a real heaviness, and you realize it takes a lot of your energy. And so I kind of slept in a bit, and mid-morning I went to get coffee here in Kharkiv. It was a calm morning, no alarms. And I was just kind of listening to some American music, it was a nice, gentle snow falling. And I was, you know, just sort of a moment of peace. And I go to the coffee shop, and I put my hand on the handle of the glass door. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of stopped. I looked, and in the metal doorframe, there are little holes from shrapnel. And it was just all you have these moments when everything might seem normal for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, I couldn't hear or see anything else. I just saw one of the holes from the shrapnel. And as I walked into the coffee shop, it was kind of this feeling of, where am I? You know, what is this? And you know, I recalled how on that very street, since February, many rockets and missiles have hit that street. Was it last week, two blocks from where I'm speaking to you now, a major rocket hit. And so there are, even as people, you know, and that coffee shop, they fixed the windows. But even as people, you know, keep trying to go, we have these reminders of this horrible thing, and that it's not, you know, not over yet. And then as I went in the coffee shop, and people are speaking both Ukrainian and Russian because they're free to speak, you know, as they wish. They were happy. Everyone looked a bit tired, and they were happy to speak with me in English. And I order a very nice craft coffee. They hand me the cup, and on the cup there's a silhouette of a woman in blue with a yellow sunflower, and there's red tears, blood dropping from her eyes. You know, this is on your morning coffee, and then there are these words in Ukrainian. It says "Yava serci mayute shona vimrai," and it means I have something in me, I have something in my heart that does not die. Just imagine seeing that on your morning coffee cup at Starbucks. And it really is this sense of the pain that everyone feels amid the ongoing endurance.
I heard reports late yesterday that Russian media wasn't even referring to this anymore as a special operation or whatever Putin wanted to call it. They're saying war. And is there more pressure on him right now? There were also some stories about Russia possibly calling up 500,000 more troops for some offensive maybe on February 24th.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, I think it becomes, even despite, you know, the wonders of Russian propaganda, it becomes hard to deny what this is. And more recently, Russians and Russian media have been saying that this is a war between Russia and NATO. That, you know, they sort of may elevate because they're trying to find some noble reason for what they're doing. And I think, you know, if we step back and look at it, it's, you know, I mean, Western and NATO countries have come to the help of Ukraine, but they are very reluctant to do so, although Washington did say within the past 24 hours they will permit other nations to send fighter jets, American-made fighter jets, to America. But we really see, you know, overall Western nations' reluctance to get in this fight, and you know, they're trying to help, but they don't want to feed into the Russian propaganda. But the main thing that this is about is, you know, if the people of Ukraine in 2014, if they had never had that revolution, there would be no need for Russia to have this war because they would already control Ukrainian society. And we see yesterday Zelensky's administration raided the home of one of the top oligarchs, Kolomoisky, who actually he used to own the TV station for which Zelensky worked when he had his TV show as the president of Ukraine, in which he played the president. And I think we see here in the wartime, Zelensky, because of the support he has from around the world, is now freed to begin to go after some of these corrupt elements within Ukraine. And this has been the project of the people here since 2014. And this is the thing that Putin doesn't want, because I think we're going to see, as more and more of this corruption gets exposed, we're going to see the house of cards tumbling and how Russia has had, you know, sort of sinister connections throughout the world.
Joseph, your story about the morning coffee puts in perspective our troubles here about weather or traffic. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Hope you have a peaceful day.
Thank you, Bob. Till tomorrow.